is on.
Our reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, on page 1094 of your church Bibles. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Okay, Will be bringing us our word this evening.
Yeah, and before you pray for me, Ollie, it did amuse me when you said there's a rest area at the back. It sounded like rest plats. You know, there's a bunch of lorry drivers out there just having a shower and a hamburger. It's called a tower room.
Note to self.
Yeah, note to self. I mean, you can go in there and rest. There's a very comfortable sofa right there. And of course, you can watch the TV, but the only thing you can watch on the TV is the live stream. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say, guys, we mustn't ignore the fact that we had 22 young people upstairs last Sunday. You don't underestimate how tough it is reaching our young people for the gospel. There's so much more exciting stuff just on their phones. So to be able to get 22 young people upstairs is like the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And this isn't just happening on an evening. Messy church. Oh my goodness, 120, 140 people once a month here for Messy Church. Guys, the average congregation in an Anglican church is 25. This is phenomenal. And they're all hearing the gospel. And what I wanted to say tonight is we should be giving medals to people who are facilitating all these different activities. And you're all sitting there, you know, many of you. We can't do this without you. And to step up and volunteer in one of these groups is a huge privilege, because you're working for King Jesus. You're not working for me. You're not working for Joe Bryce or any of the other ministry leaders. The musicians aren't working for Ali. We're working for King Jesus. And who better to have as our boss and Lord over everything. So it's a wonderful, exciting, challenging opportunity when you serve, whether it's a young person playing on the drums or, you know, whatever it is. It's so exciting. So I want to encourage you, if you're not plugged in to serving in some kind of ministry area somewhere, when I go through this talk, there's a bit where you promise to have a conversation with God. When I get to that bit, just promise to at least ask God where he wants you to serve in this mission field. Because there's nothing more fulfilling, nothing more exciting than working for King Jesus to spread the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Amen. So, Father, we give thanks to you, Lord, for Will. He's already fired up, ready to go. So I will not stand in his way. And we ask that you come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, come, Holy Spirit. So I am excited, but I'm just so excited with signs of growth. You know, it's just fantastic. Anyway, listen, we've got communion. I need to crack on. Welcome to our new series on how to pray. And the aim of this series is actually to help us grow spiritually. Why? Because I think most of the problems we encounter in our lives, most of the significant problems we encounter, is because many of us are spiritually immature. And when we are spiritually immature, we make bad decisions. Has anyone here made a bad decision in the last week? Yeah, okay. Guys, those of you who didn't put your hands up, you're all liars, okay? Not necessarily because we're all spiritually immature, but you know, when we make decisions based on how we feel, it's dangerous because our feelings come and go. And you youngsters over in the right, I'm sure there are lots of other youngsters elsewhere, but the youth are sitting over there. This is really tough for you because you've got your hormones going through the roof, you've got your feelings, you've got peer pressure, and sometimes you can make decisions based on your feelings which are not the best decisions to make. You see, God does not want us to remain as spiritual babies in nappies, okay? Because that's what we are when we start off on our walk with Jesus Christ. It's like we've got these little nappies and we're wandering on like that, okay? Probably not a great image for the live stream, but anyway. He wants us to be men of God. He wants us to be women of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says this. We're not meant to remain, there should be a slide on this. We're not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every wind of teaching. In other words, you just fall for anything when you're immature. It says, instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not meant to remain as spiritual children, but we're supposed to grow up in Christ. Now, this series is on prayer, but because prayer, of course, is the foundation for breakthroughs and miracles and all that God wants to do in our lives. And all that has to start with prayer. It doesn't just happen, okay? It's all rooted in prayer, because prayer is the vital foundation for breakthroughs and these miracles. But today, we are going to set the scene. Ollie, I think, is preaching next Sunday, is that right? Yeah, and he's going to really kick off with the sort of detail of prayer. So I'm setting the scene, and I've got six kind of laws of spiritual growth. And the first law is we grow when we feed on the Word of God. We grow when we feed on the Word of God. Now, the Bible, which many of you have in your hands, is our soul food. I know it's, you know, how can it, you know, it's just a book. It's, you know, it's been written thousands of years ago. But this is what it is. It is food for our souls. Now, you know that you can't be physically healthy if you eat junk food all the time. Now, I do have an issue explaining this to the younger members of the staff team. So when we're in the minibus off to the staff residential, it's, Will, can we stop at the next McDonald's? I'm going, no, it's not good. Actually, yes, let's stop. But, you know, it's not going to do us, if that's all we eat, it's not going to do us any good. You can't be spiritually healthy unless you feed on the truth of God's word. Equally, it's not going to do you any good if you binge eat. You need regular feeding. It harms your health if all you get is spiritual truth on a Sunday. It's not enough. You've got to eat a little bit every day. You've got to feed your soul, not just once a week by going to church, but you've got to feed your soul a little bit every day if you are to avoid being a spiritual lightweight. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says this, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on the word of God. You see, that's what God wants for us now, a little bit of food every day. And I want to help you develop this habit, okay, of daily feeding on God's word, whether it's 5 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, you know, whatever it is, I want us to get better at doing this. Now, of how you read the Bible, of course, is we could be here all week sharing experiences and what works and what doesn't work. But the first thing you do is you get a Bible. Okay, and the bookshop is at the back. There's some great Bibles there. I love a study Bible, okay, because it helps you the bits of the Bible you don't understand. There's lots of footnotes which explains it all. Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 said, how am I supposed to understand all this? Is the scroll of Isaiah unless someone explains it to me. So that's my job here, and others' job on a Sunday is to explain scripture to us. But when you haven't got a preacher around or someone who knows their way around the Bible, the next best thing is a study Bible. Now, when I use the word study, I'm conscious that for some people it sets a hair running, like study, ooh, exams, revision, pass marks, and stuff like that. What I'm talking about is nothing to do with that. But it's just, when you read the Bible, it's not just like reading any old book. You know, you've got to try and engage with it and understand what is going on. So before I read the Bible, I ask God to speak to me, through whatever passage it is. And then I try and understand what is being said. And if I can't, I then look at the footnotes. What does it actually mean? How did the original hearers hear this? What did it mean to them? And then I think, okay, so that's what it meant to them. What does it mean to me today? I look for the application in my life. That's why I have a life study application Bible. Very helpful indeed. What difference is this teaching going to make in my own life? You can use Bible reading plans, Bible and ELA, there's all sorts of stuff. If you've got any questions, come and see. I'm sure if you just turn to your neighbor, they can probably help you. Because, you see, if you just hear the Bible preached on a Sunday, you're going to forget it. Satan can steal the Word of God so quickly. We forget 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. And that depresses me as a preacher. So that's why we should meditate on God's word and perhaps, make notes as we go along. So what I'm asking you now is that for next 40 days, might not be exactly 40 days, but 6-7 weeks, okay, to spend 5 minutes at least, 5, 10, 15, whatever you decide. Don't kind of go crazy and go for an hour, because unless you're not in full-time employment, it's always going to be difficult. So kind of aim low and make sure you achieve. Whatever you decide, read the Bible for a little bit every day and feed on the Word of God, because it's going to make you healthier. So the second law of spiritual growth is we learn in different ways. I'm just going to skim through this. You know we're all wired differently, don't you? Nobody here is identical to anybody else in the whole world. Okay, and we all have different learning styles. Some people are auditory learners. So you'll be lapping a sermon up. You love listening to things. You perhaps like listening to your Bible. Others say, I don't like to listen, but I like to watch. I'm a visual learner. So when I was working on the Land Rover, I used to say to Will Zanelli is supervising me, can I watch how you do this, and then I'll do the next one myself. That's how I preferred to learn, was by watching somebody else do it. And then there's people who are oral learners. You may have come across oral learners. They just love talking. And so you can be in a small group, and they're talking and talking, and that's the way they process ideas, and that's, in a bizarre way, the way they learn. So if that's you tonight, you're probably sitting there really hating having to sit through a talk without being able to talk yourself. And then there's men. I'm being mean to the brothers. I don't like to listen. I don't like to read. I don't like to talk. Okay, no. But they're kind of kinesthetic learners, so they learn hands-on. They learn by actually doing it. Nobody's going to learn how to play football by being told, here's a book on football. Read it and you'll learn how to play football. It's, here's a ball, let's go and have a kick around. Okay, so just understand what your preferred learning style is. There's no right, there's no wrong. But if you really struggle with reading, for example, then I'd listen to the Bible, or perhaps watch it being read on YouTube or something like that. Anyway, you know where I'm going with this. Right, number three, we grow when we develop spiritual habits. This is a really important one. I cannot overestimate how important developing spiritual habits is to your spiritual well-being. If you build good habits in your life, you're going to end up with a good, strong character. And if you have a good character, things generally are probably going to work out all the best for you in terms of your destiny. Your habits can determine what you are and what you determine, and that determines where you end up in life. Now look, this is almost like obvious. Look at any successful athlete. I remember back in the day when Tiger Woods was absolutely unbeatable and before he'd had his fall from grace, in terms of his golf training, it was amazing. The habits he had of rising early, you know, hitting X hundreds of shots and then having breakfast and then hitting another few hundred, you know. He had the most awesome regime of training, which were ingrained into him. These were his habits. And as you know, it stood him in very, very good stead. Now, there's lots of habits we could agree on, but I'm just going to focus on three. The first one is gathering on a Sunday to worship together as a church. It was lovely talking to somebody before the service who said, yeah, I feel slightly weird. You know, I missed last Sunday, and I'm here tonight, and I feel sort of slightly out of place because I wasn't here last Sunday. There was somebody who has a habit of coming to church every week, and that is fantastic. The second habit is meeting together in small groups. We call them connect groups here. Now, in our reading, Lydia read to us from Acts chapter 2, so it's all about the early church. And this is how they organized themselves. They said every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So here's a picture of a whole bunch of people. So it's like a whole bunch of us coming, not every day, but on a Sunday here. And what they're doing here is, I don't know, what you might call large group worship. And then it says they broke bread in their homes. That's like our connect group. That's much more intimate. That's a small group. That's one family perhaps asking another family or two or a few other individuals to come and join them in a more intimate setting. Now, there are things that we can do here that we can't do in a small group. So unless you've got a whole bunch of friends in your connect group who are all musicians and you've got a massive front room, you can't gather to get really lost and abandoned in worship. Okay, there isn't that sense of corporately joining together. But equally, there's stuff that you can do in a small group that you can't do here. So in a small group, you can say, guys, could you pray for me? I'm really struggling with this issue, which you don't want the whole church to know about. It would be inappropriate for the whole church to know about it. But it is appropriate for your small group to know about it so they can encourage you and they can pray for you and they can hold you to account. So you need them both. And what I love about this passage is, you know, it says they ate together and they celebrated with glad and sincere hearts. They're partying. Isn't it fantastic? That's what I love about this church is we take our social lives seriously. You know, we have a series of social events, whether it's men's events, women events, or we all come together. It's fantastic. We party. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. See, this isn't talking about the church. It's talking about the community around the church. The whole community liked what they saw these Christians getting up to. And as a result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's just a wonderful picture of church working really well. And do you know what? If there was one verse in the Bible that I wanted to be true about BPC, it's this one. It's this verse. I would love people in the community to say of us, look at those people up the hill, or look at the people at the center, or the people at the community lunch, or whatever it is. They've got all the same problems we have. You know, they get ill. they die, they have cancer, car crash, but they seem less stressed about it. They, you know, death doesn't hear this, you know, hold the same kind of fear as it does for us. They look out for one another. Do you know, did you hear that story about someone who was ill, or they had a baby and they had endless meals brought round to them? Wow, what's going on there? They seem to have a little bit more purpose in their lives. They're not blown around, they're not emotional and able to be manipulated. They seem to be more, you know, more stable. And then they go, do you know what, I want to check them out. Just, I want to know what it is about them that makes them like that. I'm going to go and check that out. Isn't that really what we need to seek to be doing here? To be living such a, I mean, of course we're all messed up. Of course we all make mistakes and we upset each other and all the rest of it. But if we try our best, surely we are going to attract people into this family, into this community, like moths are attracted to a light. So that's my prayer for our church. So to be a strong believer, you need both weekend worship and during the week your connect group. You need both. To have both are important for your spiritual muscle, so to speak. And the third habit is of having a daily time alone with God, where you read a bit of the Bible and you pray a little bit. And I know this is where the rubber hits the road. I know it's really tough. It's really tough. There's no other way of putting it. But we know how important God's word is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So the command to obey is daily reading of the Bible, of Scripture, and the promise to claim is spiritual success. This is what the Bible teaches us. If we read God's word regularly, we will have spiritual success. So, the fourth law of spiritual growth is this. We grow when we help each other to grow. Now, you cannot grow to spiritual maturity on your own. Okay, it's not going to happen. I don't want to do a trial, although, you know, I could volunteer to go and sit on a desert island for a few weeks on my own quite happily. But basically, you're just going to become addled in your spiritual life. You can't grow to be the person God wants you to be if you're on your own. You need me and I need you. We need each other. God wired us in such a way that nobody grows to maturity by themselves. And the more you involve other people who are strong in the Lord in your life, the more you can grow together. So I intentionally, you know, one of the things I've loved about having Ollie on the team is he's a man of deep spirituality and deep faith. And, you know, I hear him telling me, you know, I spent 2 hours, you know, wrestling with the Lord at 5 a.m. on whichever morning it was. And I'm sitting there thinking, 2 hours, 2 hours. Ollie, how many kids have you got? How did you manage that? Aren't your kids up at that time of the day? I know he's married to a superstar, but, you know, and so it was kind of one of the reasons I love hanging out with Ollie, because his life challenges me. And there are others here who I'm not going to embarrass who I like to hang out with because their spiritual lives help me aim for something bigger and better in my own walk with Jesus. So this is how it works. Spiritual growth is relational. Romans chapter 1 verse 12, Paul says this, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. We encourage each other. I love hearing your stories. You know, please come up to me at some stage and say, Will, you know, I had the most awful week, but somebody prayed for me and I had a real breakthrough and X happened. You know, that encourages me. It encourages me to pray more. That's how we encourage one another. You have to have other people in your life, okay, to encourage you. Try and find someone ahead of you who can mentor you, or at least walk the discipleship path with you, and join a connect group. So here we go. We're going to move on now. We're going to accelerate. We grow when we expect to grow. Okay. I call this like a faith factor. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you realize that God blesses your life according to your faith? If you have no expectation whatsoever that God is going to do something amazing in your life, what do you think is going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. Guys, we have to expect that God is going to do something in our lives. We have to have a sense of expectation. When we pray before the services, we pray, Lord, we're expecting you to turn up tonight. We're expecting things to happen tonight. If we don't have that expectation, nothing is going to happen at all. Now, you won't have had time to think this through, but I hope you will go home and you will think what you've heard about what you've heard before the 72 hours and the 95% of you have forgotten everything I said. And you'll say to yourself, do you know what, Lord? I'm going to expect you to do something in the next 40 days of my life. Amen? Yeah, I'm going to expect you. Now, it could be small. It could be massive. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what to expect, but God wants you to expect something is going to happen in your life. I highly recommend you set some kind of a goal. Pray to the Lord about it. It could be, I want you to turn my job around in the next 6 weeks, Lord. I'm expecting you to turn up in my workplace. Lord, you know I'm struggling. You know I don't like all this, whatever I'm being made to do at work. I need a breakthrough at work, and I'm expecting you, Lord, to come through in the next 6 weeks. Okay? It could be small. It could be, Lord, I'm expecting you to give me the self-discipline to read my Bible for 3 minutes every day. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what to expect, but expect something. I want to be stronger in this area. I want to see movement in that area. I want to see a breakthrough over here. Because if you study scripture, you learn this. God does not move and bless you for your complaining. Okay? God is not moved by your moaning, by your griping, or by your complaining. But God will move heaven and earth when he sees you trust in him. Okay? That's a promise in scripture. So let's expect. The last one now, number six. We grow when we commit to grow. When we choose to grow. When we intend to grow. Because growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It is not just like our physical organic growth. We all grow and get older. That is not the same in terms of our spirituality. Many of you will have met mature, physically mature people who are still wandering around in those spiritual nappies, so to speak, because they haven't chosen to grow spiritually. You must choose to develop the habits. You must choose to make the effort. You need to make that choice. I can't make it for you. Now, let me ask you a personal question. Do you intend to be different than what you are in a year's time spiritually? Yeah? Do you want to be different in a year's time than you are now spiritually? Do you want to have developed a better habit of prayer? Do you want to perhaps be a little bit of a better attender on a Sunday or at your connect group? Do you want to join it? You know, or do you want to just be in the same spiritual place in a year's time? Facing the same old problems, the same old challenges, and whinging and complaining to the Lord. Lord, it's not fair. It's not fair. Nothing's changing in my life. You need to choose to be different in a year's time. It's your choice. The bottom line, to be blunt, is you are as close to God as you choose to be. You are as close to God as you choose to be. So often, and I'm just as guilty of this, guys, I've been through seasons, and I've heard people say to me, I feel God is so absent in my life. And the reason is because you've not God hasn't gone away. He hasn't left the building. He hasn't quit your life. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He died hanging there on the cross, the most agonizing death imaginable, being mocked. And he had you on his mind. He's not going to leave you, guys. But we all can leave him. So growth is a choice. And of course, some people are not willing to put the effort and the discipline and build up those spiritual habits in order to grow. You're never going to be a great athlete. I'm never going to get fit, okay, unless I put my trainers on and I go running, okay? I can't sit there thinking, oh, my jeans have shrunk. You know, I'm getting a bit out of breath going up the stairs. You know, I really should be fitter. Why am I not getting fitter? Unless I put my trainers on and I get out there and I put the hard graft and effort in, I'm not going to get fit. It's exactly the same in our spiritual life. So those are the six laws of spiritual growth. What are we going to do now? Well, in a moment, we're going to receive communion. This is the food we need. This is the energy. This is the spiritual Lucozade we need for the journey. But what is the action step? Well, I want you to make a promise. I want you to make a promise to God that you're going to read the Bible a little bit every day. Are we up for this, guys? Can we do that? Guys, I know you're really busy, all you guys, because you've got all this, and there's Instagram and all the rest of it. But could we read the Bible for a few minutes every day? Are we up for that? Yes, thank you. Thank you. And then we're going to pray a little bit every day. Do you know, we don't need to pray long, massive prayers. You can just write down three things. Lord, I pray my day goes well, whatever I'm doing, whether it's at school, at work, whatever. Pray for the people I love. Lord, just bless me with your Holy Spirit and protect. They don't need to be long prayers, but just make a start, however small it is. So you're going to pray each day. You're going to be conscious of the methods that suit your learning style. You're going to develop habits. Okay, you're going to try and make sure you do your best to come and join the worshiping community every Sunday, and you join a connect group. Okay, then we're going to try and help each other grow, and then we're going to expect to grow, and then we're going to commit to growing, and we're all going to be different. Okay, at the end of these 40 days, we're going to have loads of testimonies. Don't let me down. Okay, don't you dare let me down on this, me included. Okay, Lucia is watching on the live stream. Okay, you are included, my love. Okay, and we are going to be different in 40 days, and we're going to be different in a year as well. And if we're all different, this church is going to be on the next level up. Let me lead you in a prayer now. Heavenly Father, we don't want to waste our lives. Lord, there's so much good that we could be doing for you. We don't want to miss out on what you have in store for us. We want your blessings, Lord. We want to feel you alongside us, Lord Jesus. So I just want to pray a blessing on every person here, that as we go into the next 40 days, we will go into it with anticipation and expectation of what you are going to do by the power of God, in the name of the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it would just be a waste of time for us to do this and not to do it in faith. So thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives and the lives of everybody here who chooses to step up. We know that growth is a choice, And we pray that as we build these habits in our lives, we will become true men and true women of God in a world that is filled with unstable, flaky, uncommitted people. And I pray this blessing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Right, so it's going to be a great series, this. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Right. So, spiritual food. Why don't we stand?